The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Doggone it! I was hoping the two suspects who are on the run, I was really hoping that they were considered armed, but harmless.
Each of those individuals is considered armed and dangerous.
They're not armed and harmless. They're dangerous, these two guys that are on the lam. So the press conference that is, they're still taking questions. That continues, but let's get right to our big lead.
The big lead, top story.
This is rather crazy. So, well, you just heard in Ursula's newscast, we are getting reports of gunshot at Northwest Hospital, but I'm getting tons of text messages from listeners of a massive police response there. Well, the mayor and Carmen Best are talking about how safe Seattle is, but we're waiting to get more information on the reports from Ursula's News, but she had gotten a tip, and we have I've gotten so many tips from listeners on the text line about this massive police response going up I-5 toward the North Gate and Northwest Hospital area. So we'll keep an eye on that story as well. And I'm getting a lot of messages, and it seems like about 90% of people tend to agree with me. There are a lot of people who are saying, you're ignoring things to fit your preconceived narrative. But then they don't tell me what I'm ignoring. What do you think as I give you my analysis? And look, I know this city. I know how it's devolved. And I'm absolutely 100% confident in my analysis that the legalization of drugs in King County has hastened the drug gang problem. And when you have drug gangs, you have violence because you have turf wars. There's a lot of money at stake. And I have no question that the problem is traced to the legalization of drugs in King County. I have a lot of cop friends who say when the voters legalized marijuana that you could see a spike in an awful lot of crimes. But tell me specifically what you think I'm getting wrong. There are no laws that are going to keep guns out of the hands of gang members. Everybody knows that. I mean, that's not even up for debate. They don't buy guns at a gun show. They don't get them by going to Cabela's. They buy their guns on the street, where, and we can debate all we want, the merits of a nation that has always embraced gun rights, that now has hundreds of millions of guns, but that's not going to change. And so when Jenny Durkin was talking about their call to action and the illegal guns that these guys had.
Chief Best and I want to tell you, we will not allow this to be the new normal. That is not acceptable. We know that gun violence is preventable, and in the city of Seattle, we are taking urgent action to stop the cycle of violence. We know that the guns in this incident were not supposed to be in the hands of the people who had them.
Yeah, we did know that, because they have one of the guys has 20 felony convictions. The other one has, I want to make sure I get the number right, 15 convictions, many of them felonies. The other guy has 20 criminal convictions, many of them felonies. And the other guy has 15 convictions, many of them felonies. Felons are not allowed to have guns. We have a law that prevents that. And are you telling me, Jenny Durkin, Carmen Best, that these gang members, that they ignored the law that prohibits felons from having guns? But I thought the laws were effective. I thought you were going to now introduce legislation with the rest of the Seattle City Council, with Teresa Mosqueda, who tweeted out her nonsense last night. Jay Inslee tweeted out his nonsense. I thought that you were going to craft laws that would keep the guns out of the hands of these felon gang members. But no! We already have a law to keep guns out of their hands, and they, gosh darn it, they got a gun anyway. So how are you standing up there and telling us that you now have some magical solution? And then Jenny Durkin proved the insanity of everything she had said previously.
Seattle has some of the strictest gun laws in the state, from our safe storage law that prevents firearms from falling into the wrong hands, to our emergency risk protection orders, which take guns out of the hands of those who may pose a risk to themselves or others.
Okay, we have some of the strictest gun laws in the state, but felon gang members still got guns. Did they not follow your laws? Because that will really upset me if I hear that. I mean, it's bad enough that they were trading gunfire, but are they not rule followers as well? Because, man, that gets me hot under the collar to think that these guys weren't following the rules last night. But you're going to come up with some new rules, and they'll follow those, right? Because they're going to keep us safe.
I also truly want to recognize that every resident and every business in our city expects Chief Best, our criminal justice system, and me, their mayor, to be accountable to keep people safe. That is our job, and it is one of the most important and fundamental jobs that we have. And while we have worked to address gang violence across our city or public safety challenges downtown, we can and we must do more. We are a big city that faces some of the same gun and gang violence problems that other big cities have.
Okay, yes, and I already told you the common thread between all the cities that have the worst gun violence, and it's the party that is in control of those cities. That is the common thread. And then one more cut from the press conference we just carried live.
In 2019, SPD took over 1,100 guns off the street of Seattle, making people safer. But
wait a second. Making what? People safer? We made, it's just a little stumble. I won't obsess on that. I didn't realize we had made people safer.
In 2019, SPD took over 1,100 guns off the street of Seattle, making people safer. But ultimately, we are a city that exists in a county, that exists in a state. We must join our resources together to meet this challenge.
Yes, yes. That's worked so well with homelessness. All we have to do is combine resources. So we spend $1 billion a year on homelessness, according to the Puget Sound Business Journal. Works out to $100,000 per homeless person. And now that we combine our resources, it has done a gangbuster job with the homelessness problem. Now, and this is, I guess, my bottom line with all of this and with the nonsense from this press conference. It's not about combining resources. She also said that they need a new investment in programs. But until we start dealing in the realm of reality, and this is the problem. Politicians are in a fantasy world of their own making. They have their Reverend Bruce Howard city council members standing behind them when they do the press conference. They're in a fantasy world of their own making. They talk about these laws that are going to make people safer. And they have lots of laws. We had these guys locked up. We had these guys convicted of felonies, and we just let them go. So until you start talking about, we need more jail space. If the problem is that we don't have the jail space to lock up felons with guns, convictions, then we're not going to make people safer. Hey, I'm done. I'm done with that. But we need to lock people up when we have them in custody. And then the other thing that they will not address, they won't address the fact that we have lots and lots of laws. We could have locked these guys up for a long time with felony gun convictions, but we chose not to. Because we have a prosecutor and we have this bizarre leftist ideology around here that says, no, it's not kind to lock up violent felons. Let's wait until they kill an innocent person before we really get serious with them. Now, to somebody like me, probably you, that's just stupidity. That's, as I talked about earlier, that's human roulette that they are currently playing. But that's the game they choose because they don't have any skins in the game themselves. You know, as I talked about, Jenny Durkin's got a Seattle police detail everywhere she goes, including at her Lake Washington $10 million waterfront mansion. Dow Constein has three sheriff's detectives assigned to him to take him out drinking at night, to go to lunch. He doesn't have to worry about the consequences of, you know, all his lawlessness, of being sanctuary, of all the things that also contribute to the crime and the problems around here. He doesn't have to deal with that. Dan Satterberg legalizes drugs, but Dan Satterberg just bought a unbelievably expensive, bluff, 180-degree view, gated, gigantic house. He's behind a gate. He doesn't have to deal with the consequences of the crime and the lawlessness that comes about from his legalizing of drugs. You and I have to deal with the consequences of that. But we've got politicians who are completely out of touch, who are insulated. But they say and do things that get their Bruce Howard type followers to nod when they talk. And that's all they want. They don't want to make the city safer. They don't want to keep you and me safe. They want to get the assent of their fellow leftists. That is the single highest priority. That is the single most important thing for all of our politicians. Because it is that group that's going to help them climb the ladder. And it all comes back to the voters. But you know, let's talk about the gang members for a minute. Jenny Durkin said we need new investment in programs. Now, there is an issue that no politician would ever have the guts to address, but I will. You got to start talking about the root cause. Why are there so many aimless young men who are the prey of these gangs and who can be so soulless as to open fire on a street where innocent people and children... Not children or people. I guess people encompasses all ages. But how can you be so soulless as to open fire? How can you be so filled with rage as to not consider the innocent people who are going to be shot when you have guns ablazing? What was missing in these young men's lives that made them subject and prey to the gangs? Well, again, statistical fact. More than 75% of gang members are born out of wedlock. More than 75%. Which means no dad. No dad in their lives. Now, that's the root cause. You can try dealing with what has happened in their lives the last year or two. And you can talk all you want. You can talk to your blue in the face about how you need more investment in programs to help these young men who are in the gangs. But that's a band-aid. You got to get to the root cause of the disease. And it is, you know, of all races, but it's fatherless men in our society. Now, again, you're never going to hear Jenny Durkin or Dow Constein or Jay Inslee talk about that. Never. But they have to understand that that is the root cause of all of these aimless young men and, you know, male children in so many of the cases. It's because they don't have a dad in their lives. And that makes you subject to the prey. Now, if you want to start addressing that, then you're getting to an issue that could actually change lives. But once somebody has become so hard by street life and gang life, there's no amount of money. There's no amount of taxpayer-funded programs that are going to solve this plague. You got to get back to, let's do everything we can. And this is where I think they contribute to the problem more than they could possibly imagine, talking about the politicians. We do everything around here to destroy families, to take away parental influence on kids. In Washington State, with the first of the year, your 13-year-old can get anxiety and depression meds, and mom and dad can't be told unless the child specifically says, yeah, cut mom in on the conversation. And why? Why would our legislature say, yeah, let's cut parents out? If a child wants to change their gender, they can go to a doctor. They can get prescription, powerful, physiology-changing medicines that will alter their ability to reproduce the rest of their life. 13 years old, they can do that with mom and dad being cut out. Why would our legislature want that? Because ultimately, the more you cut parents out of kids' lives, the more government is going to have to pick up the pieces. And when you have shattered lives, you can have Jenny Durkin stand up and say, hey, give us more tax money, and we'll make new investments in programs to solve this problem. You know, I talked yesterday with the superintendent of public instruction. We're going to start teaching sex ed to kindergartners in Washington if this bill that passed out of the Senate yesterday, if it passes out of the House. We're going to start teaching sex ed, even though most parents don't want that for K through 5. Why? Well, then government has control of that aspect of your kid's life, not the parents. So we have a legislature that likes taking parents, cutting them out of kids' lives, and then government will have to pick up the pieces of all these shattered lives. And we can raise taxes, because who doesn't want to help lost kids? And that's why everything we're hearing today is just nothing but bull. And I know I just rambled on for a long, long time, but I'm so passionate about this. I'm so certain about all of this. And if you disagree, you can let me know. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then, what do you think? Got enough for awesome audio? I don't know. We've been talking about such serious stuff all day. We're going to figure it out. But you're going to be glad you kept listening. That I guarantee. As the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Before I went on the air today, I talked to a couple guys. Because we carried the Durkin press conference, I couldn't play back the whole interview that I did. But I talked to a couple of guys with Crime Stoppers of Puget Sound, of Western Washington. And Jim Fuda, he's been a cop for 33 years. And Merle Carner, he was a Seattle cop forever. And these guys were telling me that Jim Fuda said, you know, there have always been gangs around here, but the cops used to be able to manage the problem. We're catching these guys. I mean, these are obviously really bad dudes. And we're just sending them out on the street. Of course, what happened last night was inevitably going to happen someday with these guys. That's what happens when we keep putting criminals back out on the streets, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the thing is, our policemen, our beat cops, our bicycle cops, they work that area. They know who these people are, but they're not allowed to even make contact with them because you're infringing on someone's rights. They can't do their job the way they effectively the way that it's been done in the past. And the point I tried to make initially was that we always had some of this, but it was never to this extent, and because policemen were allowed to do their job. Look at the broken window effect that in New York City, where you were able to make arrests, you clean up the small crime, and the big crime will go away. And we're not allowed to do that here. In fact, it's becoming more and more of a cesspool.
And Merle Karner told me that cops do the best they can, but they're so undermanned in Seattle, it's not even funny. They want to arrest criminals, but they are in a position, they all tell me, where all too often their hands are tied. Is that a fair assessment of things?
Well, I think that's a fair assessment. I live and breathe SPD blue, and I've been down there, and I know everybody. They want to do their job, Dory. I'll be honest with you, given the constraints they're under, they do tremendous work.
Yeah, I agree with that. The cops on the street, on the beat, on their bikes, they do everything they can, but we got too many politicians who tie their hands. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
At number two, Adam Schiff. He made his case for impeaching the president yesterday. Oh, my goodness. The media, they fell in love with Adam Schiff.
Number two.
Forceful speech to an a very, very powerful and forceful speech to an almost 2.5 hours by Adam Schiff. A very, very strong case from Adam Schiff.
It was a very coherent, cohesive narrative, something that the White House doesn't have.
This was a speech really aimed at the better angels. And I think Adam Schiff did a really great job.
What did you think of the presentation by the lead House manager, Adam Schiff?
I thought it was dazzling.
I just picture everybody in the media. They have on their long false eyelashes and they're waving their handkerchief at Adam Schiff. Adam, look at me over here. Adam. Oh, they fell in love with Adam Schiff. And at number one, Mayor Pete. He's still trying to be president, but he had his Jeb Bush please clap moment. He thought he was getting the crowd fired up, and this is just sad.
Number one.
By having better hands guided by better values on those pulleys and levers of American government. So can I look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know? Come on.
Come on. Come on. I just said something really exciting, you guys. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to give you some more thoughts on the state of Seattle next. And down the stretch we come. This is usually where I do today's sign, the end is near. That hits a little too close to home after today's show because we are seeing just a deep spiraling of Seattle. We are seeing politicians who are completely unwilling to deal with reality. They would rather just take their preconceived narrative of, we got to do something about guns, when they know that these gang members who are the suspects in the shooting last night, they know that there is no law that is going to get guns out of the hands of criminals. And so they pretend like they're doing and saying something, and they've got all these dopey followers who voted for them who nod their heads, yes, gun violence. And there's not a person whose IQ is over 60 who thinks that there's a law that's going to get guns out of the hands of gang members. That's not how they acquire guns. There are some But our politically correct city would never, ever engage in programs like Stop and Frisk. In New York City, under Mayor Giuliani, the murder rate when Giuliani took over was through the roof in New York. And then they implemented Stop and Frisk, where cops would be able to engage known gang members, and if they had a gun, they could disarm them, a gun that they legally were not supposed to have. Now, we would never do something like that, and that's the thing. That's what's so frustrating. When Inslee and Teresa Mosqueda and all these other political windbags, when they say, we need tougher gun laws, there are gun laws that would actually make the streets safer. Stop and Frisk would make the streets safer. But leftists, politically correct liberals, they are so against Stop and Frisk. The cops know who the drug dealers are. They know who the gang members are. But we do not let cops do their jobs. We will not give cops a tool that would actually do something about gun violence. And so they can blather on all over Twitter about how I'm so upset by this gun violence, and it's just proof that we have to do something. Yeah, we got to let cops do their jobs, and we got to get rid of politicians who are nothing but windbags, who cannot possibly believe the tweets they write as they express their indignation. And then finally, as I've been talking about throughout the show today, we've got to stop legalizing drugs in King County. This is madness. Dan Satterberg said that this would actually make things better once he legalized all personal possession amounts of heroin and meth and every other drug imaginable. And we have open-air drug markets in front of that McDonald's on 3rd and Pine, in Belltown, up on Capitol Hill, open-air drug markets. And behind all of them are, or almost all of them, are gangs. And when you legalize a product that is sold by gangs, then inevitably you're going to have the turf wars and the gang warfare that comes with those gangs. And so everything we can and should do about this problem, we're doing the exact opposite. We're electing feckless politicians who write nonsense that not even they believe themselves. We don't give cops the tools to do their jobs that would actually make the streets safer. And we have prosecutors and judges who let people who have more than 20 felony convictions, like one of these suspects, and we let them walk free. That one dude had 3 felony convictions in 2019 alone. In 2018, both suspects were convicted of drive-by shootings. And we let them walk free. And this is the game of roulette that Jenny Durkin and every member of the Seattle City Council and Dow Constantine and Jay Inslee and whoever the politicians in your Puget Sound area town are, this is the game of human roulette that they are playing. Because they all have their security details. None of them are going to be victims of the problem that they perpetuate. But they are willing to put known gang members with drive-by shooting convictions, with gun possession, additional gun possession felonies, with several felonies in the last year, they're willing to put them out on the streets, knowing that inevitably somebody's going to get killed. Last night, it was a middle-aged woman. Could have been that 9-year-old who got shot last night. Could have been those 2 Amazon employees who are among the shooting victims. But they're playing human roulette. And something's got to change. I mean, look, on Monday, it was MLK Day around here. Sam Cooke wrote a great song because of his connection with Martin Luther King Jr. A change is going to come.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
And I'm serious. I was born in a tent by the river, metaphorically, in Ballard. But I've seen what's happened to this city over the course of my lifetime. And as I said earlier, as I said in my tweet, the city has gone to hell. Last year, the narrative was Seattle is dying. Well, when you do everything wrong, after you die, you go to hell. But I don't want to let the spiral continue. I can't believe that so many voters who put the same city council and the same identity politics mayors and law enforcement department heads in place, I can't believe that they are comfortable with what's happened to our city, to our region. So the politicians aren't going to change.
Change gonna come.
The voters have to make the change happen. And we got to stop electing the insane, politically correct, same politicians who have created this problem over the last 30 years. And if the voters don't come to their senses, the problem will just continue to get worse. And those are my closing comments today. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. I'll go home, think up a bunch of great stuff for our Friday extravaganza. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you back here tomorrow, high noon.
It's been a long time coming, but I know.
Gentlemen, you really are a fantastic...